Welcome, passengers. This is the pre-boarding announcement for the podcast From the Runway Up. Today's flight will introduce you to the world of aviation in East Tennessee. So fasten your safety belts and return your tray tables to their upright position. And in 3, 2, 1.
Hello From the Runway Up listeners. Welcome to our December episode of From the Runway Up. I can't believe that the year is almost over.
It has flown by. We have done so much, and that is actually our topic for today.
Yes, actually, last year in December of 2016, we did a year in review podcast, and it was actually one of our most listened to podcasts, so we figured that we would do that again and give you a recap of all that has happened at the airport in 2017.
And, you know, most of the time people just think about an airport as being a place where you catch a flight or you can rent a car. We're going to talk today about a lot of things that not only involve air service, but have really just kind of been in our community and some projects that we're working on. So this is going to be a good one. So put your seatbelts on and fasten in.
Yes. Good thing you did that already.
Yeah.
And we're also excited. We have a very new special guest to our podcast. We have Bill Marison, who is the president of the Airport Authority. So we are very excited to have you in our podcast studio.
Thank y'all. I appreciate the opportunity.
You may not appreciate it by the time we get done.
So we're going to get started. We're going to talk about one of the first things we did, actually, I think on January
the 5th
of 2016, is we launched a brand new website on flyknoxville.com. We were really excited about that. That was a long project coming, but all of our people on social and things like that have really had some great positive feedback about our website. We added a lot of new things to that.
New features, and really a lot of work went into it from the back end when we were designing it. We looked at what pages were being utilized the most and make sure that they had a prominent position on the page that people get when they come in. We wanted to make sure that the site worked with all kinds of cell phones, and it was able to adapt to whatever kind of equipment was accessing that, because we were seeing that our website was being accessed more by mobile than desktop, which I think is a trend in the industry.
Yep, and we also added new maps, which was a long time coming. So we did that.
And no more stick drawings.
No.
Thank you.
And then we also added a trip cost calculator, which I think was really neat. People can put in their destinations, how long they're going to be parking at a facility, and then they get to see the cost of their trip at Miggy Tyson Airport and then also at airports close to us like Atlanta or Nashville.
Yeah, I think that's good. And then another thing we had happen this year is in January and February, we had a couple of bouts of winter weather here that our operations department really had to swing into action. And Bill actually has a background in operations and would be able to help us with that. What does it take for a department like that to mobilize when we have snow?
Well, first of all, people don't think of snow as being a major event in Knoxville because it doesn't occur that often. But it's almost like anything, you have to be prepared here. So we have several pieces of snow removal equipment that we've developed throughout the years. And we do have the capability and the requirement of the public, of course, to keep the airport open in inclement weather. We have a lot of what you call dual use equipment. Our snow plows are actually tractors that mow the grass throughout the summer, and we have other uses for some of our other snow removal equipment. We do have some dedicated snow blowers that's used exclusively for snow removal, and believe me, they're very handy when they're needed. We just hope we won't need them very much this winter.
Knock on wood. Snow is a bad word at airports, and it congests everything up, not just in our city, but in places that you connect. So we are always watching the weather this time of year through the thaw of March and April.
And this is actually, it's interesting, we're talking about winter weather because we are actually a one runway airport now, so we have to be prepared for inclement weather and things like that. So we actually just did, and I'm skipping ahead in the year, but last month our operations team did a full rollout of winter prep to make sure that we are all ready for hopefully the small amounts of snow we get this winter.
Yeah, and that brings us to the runway project, which is a continuation of a big project for the past few years, and we've mentioned it on past podcasts and even had Brian White from our engineering department come in and really give a deep dive into what the project was going to be. So if you're interested in the runway project, go back in our list of previous podcasts and you can look for the one on the runway project. But Bill, can you talk to us about maybe where we are with that runway project right now?
Yeah, we have just entered the third phase. We will be starting the pavement for a the 10,000 foot runway in April. We are going to the FAA in January with a request for an additional $33 million.
Wow.
And that will hopefully complete the project.
Right.
We don't know if we're hopeful that it might be available to us in one big bite. We don't know that for sure, so it may be 2 years before we finish it. It's all dependent on FAA funding. And I would point out again, I'm sure that this has been pointed out to y'all, but when we say FAA funding, we're not talking about tax dollars. We're talking about user fees. Every time you buy a ticket on an airline, you pay into the aviation, what's called the Aviation Trust Fund. And that's where the money for projects like this come from.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on that episode that you were talking about, Becky, Brian went into all of the, you know, how FAA funding works and things like that. So if you are interested, it's I think it's called the Airfield Modernization Program episode. Yeah.
Well, and $30 million sounds like a huge amount to me, and I'm sure to the listeners it does too. But for a project of this magnitude, that the total cost of the project is a little over $100 million, and it's the biggest project that this airport's ever undertaken in the history of its facility. So it is a big project, but $30 million, that's a great investment in something like a runway, which is the bread and butter of any airport.
Yeah, we keep calling it a runway, but you have to do, whenever you change the elevation of a runway, you also have to change the elevation of the connector taxiways that changes the way they tie into the ramp. So for all intents purposes, if you think of, or I like to think about it as not just a new runway, but we're going to have an entirely new airfield out there. I think it's, you know, rough estimate would be about 90% of the pavement out there is going to be have been touched by this project.
Wow.
So, you know, we're looking forward to having the airfield fully operational again, and I know that the pilots out there that are listening to us will really enjoy having the new airfield layout. It will be easier to navigate, safer, and will benefit with shorter taxi times.
Well, I think all of our airlines would be appreciative of that too. And that brings us to one of our next things, which is United actually launched a second Newark flight into the New York area that's been really successful.
What month was that?
That was in late spring. I wish I had that on top of my head right now, but I don't. But it's late spring. I want to say that it was in April or May. Mm-hmm. And what's important to think about, and everybody thinks Newark, why is that really New York? But it is a good connector into the New York market if you have issues trying to get a flight into LaGuardia or into JFK. It's an alternative for people to consider, and sometimes a low-fare alternative to the New York market. You fly into Newark, you can catch the train over into Grand Central Station, and you're in downtown Manhattan before you know it. So that has been really successful, and it's something that I hope that they continue to see success with.
And because they added that second flight, that means that it's a popular
flight with a lot of people traveling. And the equipment that they use on that flight also, I think, is very important. That they're flying 737s, which are full-size airplane. They're not regional jets with two classes of service. So it's a very nice flight if you get an opportunity to take it.
Good.
Well, and right around that same time, Honor Air hosted a flight. They hosted one in April this summer.
They did one in August, and then they did one in October.
Mm-hmm. And the October one was actually their 25th flight.
It's great to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. This year, they have announced that one of their flights is actually going to be a virtual flight. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what that looks like. They're only going to physically be at the airport for two flights in April and October this year. But that summertime flight, which had been a new addition in recent years, is going to become a virtual experience. So it's for those veterans that maybe can't make the physical day. Oh, it's a long day for people. They get here at 6 a.m. in the morning and they don't get home till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It's very taxing. And so sometimes that is not something that people can do, and I think this is an opportunity to give the experience to those people who cannot participate on the actual flight. So I'm looking forward to that.
Honor Air thinks of everything.
I know, isn't it nice?
They do a great job. It is so inspiring. If you haven't been out here for an arrival, I would encourage everybody to come, because it's truly something that is for me, it's a very emotional moment. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I also enjoy the send-offs. I also enjoy seeing everybody so excited mm-hmm. about getting to go and getting to meet some of the veterans and hear some of their stories. It makes you really proud and really mm-hmm. feel patriotic.
It does. And if you want to learn more about the Honor Air program or to find out what the dates are for McGee Tyson Airport's flights, you can visit their website at honorairknoxville.org. Or call them. I think it's org. You try both.
Well, and I know it seems like we are plugging our previous podcast episodes a lot, but we also have an Honor Air podcast episode that we talk about the program, and we actually had the founder, Eddie Manis, on our podcast to talk more about that.
Yeah, that was a good episode. It's something, a lot of stories being shared on that mm-hmm. one. And then later in the year, we had some wind damage. We had what we thought to be a low-grade tornado mm-hmm. move through our area right off of the property of the airport. It did not land on our property, but very close to it. I don't know that they ever called it
an actual
tornado. But it was close. The winds got really high, and we had some structural damage to our building in our operations area, a lot of trees down on property.
Yeah, we shared a picture on our Facebook and our Instagram of this tree, and we've parked an airport truck right beside it, and the tree root that's been uprooted from the ground is so much bigger than the actual truck. It was really, really
amazing what Mother Nature can do. Mm-hmm.
We're fortunate, though, in that the damage was limited to mostly foliage and some minor building damage that was fairly easy to repair. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of airplanes around here at the airport, as you would imagine, mm-hmm. and we had very little, if any, damage to aircraft, and we need to salute our fixed base operator, TAC Air, that did a good job. Cirrus got all of their aircraft put up. The airline MRO facility took care of all of their aircraft mm-hmm. that was parked here. So we're very fortunate in that it was just trees and roofs, and we didn't sustain a lot of damage to airplanes.
Because I'm sure airplane damage can be a little pricey.
They're so cheap.
Very. Take a car and square it.
Yeah. And then that leads us to one of the big events of the whole country. We actually were in the path of totality here at our facility, and we're able to witness this full solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. Caitlin and I were out at our aircraft rescue and firefighting station with some of our police officers. Where were you, Bill, when we had the solar eclipse?
I was on vacation at home in my driveway, putting a radio in my Jeep.
Okay.
Not very exciting.
But you did look at it.
But I did look at it, yes.
Well, you know, and it was a big economic generator for our community mm-hmm. because we were in the path. We had lots of people from coming all around.
Yes.
Lots of little cities in our area were able to use that to generate tourism dollars. So it was a good experience for all of us, not only very interesting to see, but also an economic driver for our community. So that was a big deal for our mm-hmm. community this last year.
And we actually had travelers fly into the airport just to watch the eclipse and then fly back out. They brought all their, you know, photograph equipment and things like that. So that was interesting.
They walked right off the planes, walked up to our fence line and set up
a little picnic. Yeah.
And set, we were like, okay, what's going on? Safety started calling the public mm-hmm. relations department, going, do you know these people with cameras are along our fence line? And it turned into be a really interesting experience mm-hmm. for us to share with the public. And then they got back on the plane yep. and flew home. It was really very interesting.
Because the whole thing lasted, what, like 2 or 3 hours
for the whole thing. Yeah. And very few minutes for the yeah. whole, I think we had 1 minute of totality. Yeah. Yeah. So it was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. If any of our listeners know if you can still get an I blacked out in Sweetwater t-shirt, let me know.
They're a hot commodity now. The next thing we had happen is Frontier Airlines, which generally just goes to Denver for us, added service to Orlando. Mm-hmm. And it was really very
Orlando
successful. A lot of people were interested in doing it because they flew into International mm-hmm. as opposed to Allegiant, who does service already in our market into Sanford, which is also very convenient to the Orlando market. But this gets them right into there, and it was very, very popular with our community.
Yeah, I had friends over last night, and they were talking about Frontier Airlines and how nice it was. I think they left last Tuesday and went to Florida and came back on Sunday. I think the main thing they were talking about is how they were glad they overflew Atlanta, but they were still very, very proud of the service. And Orlando is generally one of our very top markets, so anytime we can expand air service mm-hmm. in that direction, it works out well for us.
That is so true. We also have started a celebration of sorts. In October, McGee Tyson Airport turned 80, and we're going to be doing an 80th anniversary celebration for the next calendar year until October of 2018. Mm-hmm. And it's celebrating 80 years in 80 ways. And so we have already started ticking off the list of the 80 things that we're going to do with our passengers, with our guests, with the community, with our employees, with our tenants, to help celebrate the support that you all have given us over the years. And we appreciate you beyond measure. Mm-hmm. So be looking for those things. You can visit our website at flyknoxville.com to see the list of things that we've done. What are some of the things so far, Caitlin?
Well, we kicked off the campaign with a birthday party for our tenants and our employees, and that was one of my favorite things because one of our employees, who's actually a safety officer here at the airport, baked a cake that looked exactly like the airport terminal, and it tasted delicious,
yes,
too.
And
so, we did that, and we gave away cupcakes and some swag and things like that, but that really kicked off the campaign. And then we've also given away airline tickets for a social sweepstakes and things like that. So we've done 19 things so far, and
Check them out on our website. The
yeah.
big
only
thing,
60
too.
More to go.
Yeah, one of the big things that has a six-month window with us is we have a themed art exhibit in the Arts in the Airport program. So if you're flying into or out of our airport, you should stop into the exhibit area. And all of the artwork on display from now until April will have themed art based on how aviation or travel has influenced them as an artist. So it's very interesting to see how different travel impacts us all.
None of our podcasters would know, or none of our podcast listeners would know, that I have been at the airport here for 37 years. So some of the staff is calling this my 80th anniversary, but I want to correct
that.
We
weren't going to say that.
I want to correct that on the internet. It is not my 80th anniversary.
We just slid it in the timeline.
But it does seem just like yesterday it was the 50th. So thanks to all of y'all that have supported us over the years, and we're looking for great things in the future.
Oh, yeah. This will be a fun year. So stay tuned and check us out. United just announced that they are going to be adding a second flight to the Denver market mm-hmm. starting in June, but people can book that flight now. This month in December, we are opening a second location of the Starbucks kiosk downstairs. So meeters and greeters who are waiting to welcome home family, friends, or business acquaintances will have access to pastries and a limited mm-hmm. menu of Starbucks coffee, which is something that people have asked for a very long time. And we're so glad that HMS Host has decided to provide that to our passengers and guests. But for us, the exciting news at year-end is we have the potential to break a passenger record. A couple of months this year, we've actually broke monthly records. Mm-hmm. But we may end up this year with breaking a number of passengers coming through our facility for the whole year, which means that aviation is alive and well and growing in our community. And I'm excited about that.
It well, is exciting.
I'll just go ahead and announce. I'm going a little bit further than you. <Uh-oh. but>
he can do that. You heard it here first.
Yeah, the Bill Marison prediction is that we are going to have just shy of 2 million passengers. That's passengers getting on airplanes and passengers getting off of airplanes, which would be a record for us. And so we really appreciate everybody in the community's support, and we look forward to continuing it in the years to come. But you know, we've been through a lot. Of course, went through 9/11. We've been through the recession. All of these things have impacted our business. So we've either been virtually flat or just grown slightly year over year. And this is shaping up to be a very strong year for us. So we're very, very excited about that. And we really appreciate the public support.
Oh, yeah. And a big thank you to all the airlines that continue to invest in our community and provide flights to places that people want to go. And we hope to continue to grow that in our new year. Speaking of the new year, we have a couple of projects that we're working on right now. The Oak Ridge Airport Initiative, and we are also involved, obviously, very heavy with Downtown Island Airport. Lots of things are going down there. Bill, tell us what's going on.
Okay, our second airport that we operate is Downtown Island in downtown Knoxville. It's a what's called a general aviation airport, meaning that it just serves the smaller aircraft. It has a 3,500-foot runway. Currently, there's about 110 aircraft based down there. We did a new project this year to build 24 new T-hangers. A T-hanger is a building that private aircraft owners can store their aircraft in. And we're very excited. We have a waiting list for those, and they will be filled just as soon as they come online. Right after the first of the year. We're looking to do some more projects at Downtown Island. We're looking to do some pavement work down there. I know that's kind of always boring to
that's
people.
That's the fun stuff at an airport, talking pavement.
Yeah,
it's kind of important, though.
Yeah, it's really necessary. No runways are not like roads, so our maintenance on those are a little bit more intense, so we'll be out there doing a lot of that next year. On the Oak Ridge Airport, the Oak Ridge Airport is a new facility yet to be constructed. It's located on the K-25 site in Roane County, and it will support the industrial development that's going on in Anderson and Roane County. But not only will it support that industrial development, it will support the entire region with a 5,000-foot runway. Once again, it's a general aviation airport. It can accommodate the smaller aircraft, but it can also accommodate the majority of the business jets. And that's the market that we're looking at. Really, business jets sometimes prefer areas that's closer, because literally when you're operating a $20 million airplane, minutes count.
Yeah.
So
to your pocketbook.
Yeah. So, you know, the closer the airport is to where your work is, the better that it is. So we think all of those reasons rolled into one justifies a new airport. The FAA has agreed with us by including us in the National Integrated Systems Plan, which is a long an acronym that the FAA has that says they will agree to planning for an airport at that location. And we're involved in that planning program right now. We look forward to a lot of milestones in 2018. There's a lot that's been building up behind the scenes, and we look forward to informing y'all of things that are going to be occurring with that project next year.
Well, and
so
if
stay
you,
tuned.
Yeah, and if you wonder why we get into things like that, it's a part of our mission. We're charged with helping and assisting the East Tennessee region with their aviation needs. So when a community like Oak Ridge and Roane County come to you and say, we might need to have a facility to help the reindustrialization of this park, They come to us because we're the experts in aviation at the Airport Authority, and we're able to help them with that process and bring that. So it's part of our mission to continue to build aviation, not just commercially for the airplanes where you can buy seats and get on board, but also for the personal aircraft owners, and the tea hangers at Downtown Island are a part of that. Just a lot of things go into providing air service for a community to a different group of publics. Different kinds of people own different kinds of airplanes, and how do we meet those needs? So we're constantly working to do that here.
And if that is something that you're interested in, I'll do another shameless plug for us. Each year we do an aviation academy, and that kicks off in April and May. And so we will be taking applications for that class in January and February. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in general aviation airports, McGee-Tyson Airport, you know, the commercial aviation side of things, that is definitely a program that you would probably benefit from.
And the way to find out more about the academy or to apply is to visit our website at flyknoxville.com or check out our Facebook page at /FlyKnoxville. We will be posting the information to apply online for that class. It's a free program, but it is application-based, and we get quite a few applications.
We do.
So continue to apply, even if you don't get in that first year, because it is a small number of groups, and we only do it that one time a year.
Podcast listeners, please take your seats and prepare for landing.
So 2018 absolutely will be another very busy but exciting year at McGee-Tyson Airport.
All right. Bill, anything you want to close us with?
On behalf of the staff here, our 170-plus employees, the Airport Authority Board of Commissioners, and myself, we would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Thank you, yes. And so next year, we hope you will stay tuned and check out our January episode of From the Runway Up. What are we going to be talking about?
We're going to talk about art, arts in the airport, whether it is actually the art or if it is musical things that we have at our facility. That's what we'll be talking about.
Perfect. So as Bill said, thank you all so much for listening. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we hope you will tune in to From the Runway Up next year.